Welcome to the Word, to the Uttermost, a ministry of First Emmanuel Baptist Church located in Chesapeake, Virginia. This message is presented by Bible teacher and servant of Christ, Dr. Walter Yoho.
And if you'd like to explore the subject of tremendous transforming truths about trials more deeply and fully, please contact us, and we'd love to tell you more about a book that I've written on the subject entitled Tremendous Truths About Trials. And the first tremendous truth about trials, or if you please, the first transforming truth about trials, is we are always going to have plenty of problems. The important thing is how we handle them. If God hands you a lemon, make lemonade. And then we pointed out that we have too many trials, more than God wants us to have, because we do spiritually stupid stuff, like worrying instead of praying. Another thing we do to bring more trials on ourselves than God would have us to have, and I'm sure you've probably been guilty of this in the past, I know I have, is by opening mouth and inserting foot. Hoof and mouth disease. Saying things that, oh, you wish as you look back you hadn't said. Solomon said in Proverbs 10:19 that in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, or lacketh not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Another tremendous truth about trials is we are not all alone when we feel all alone. In fact, you are never less alone than when you are all alone with Jesus. Every moment spent in the presence of God is an opportunity to have your life determined by the future and not by the past. The psalmist says in Psalm 46, 10 and 11, "Be still and know that I am God." In the Hebrew, be still is literally cease striving. Be still and know that I am God. Another tremendous truth about trials is that trials make us more like Jesus. And that's what the Christian life is all about anyway. But actually, the devil cannot make you do anything. In fact, if you're a strong Christian, you should be able to resist him through the Word of God. 1 John 2:14 says, "Young men, I have written unto you because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one," sin. We should not roll over and play dead whenever Satan wants to come at us. We should take the initiative in Jesus' name and put temptation to flight and not give in to it. What we most need is not an explanation from God, but a revelation of God. When we are suffering, it seems like the problem is so big and right up in front of us and right up against us, and we can see little else. And what we need at that time is a new perspective of God, so we can see the problem in the light of how great God is and get life's dimensions properly readjusted again. In this series of messages, we're looking at 9 tremendous truths about trials, and we now come to number 9. And it's a great blessing. Heaven will be worth it all and a whole lot more. Heaven will be worth it all and a whole lot more. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, and says, "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul talks about our sufferings in the light of heaven being light, brief, and useful. He first of all speaks of them as light. Now, Paul did so much for Jesus, and Paul suffered so much for Jesus that, as some preachers like to put it, I get tired just reading about all he did and suffered. How can you say that all he went through and all he did was light, yet compared to the blessings and rewards of heaven, they are light indeed? So much so that Paul could write in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." But he said they're not only light, they're brief. What is this lifetime compared to eternity but a brief second compared to an entire lifetime? The Bible says in Psalm 49 that people who try to be worldly wise in this world and accumulate a lot, name their lands after them and pass on their houses to their children, they sometimes act as if this is the only real world and they'll live here forever. But Psalm 49 concludes by saying, "Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. A man may appear to be wise for a moment, but what good is that if he is a fool forever?" So Paul says the sufferings of this life for Christ are light, brief, and useful. They work to our advantage. But how? Well, for one, they build character as we let God use them in our lives, and thus increase our capacity to encompass and enjoy eternity. Two, they construct heavier crosses and thus polish brighter crowns. We read in Daniel 12, 1 through 3, that in the great tribulation, the archangel Michael will help Israel in that terribly difficult time. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt," which resurrection will take place at the end of the tribulation period. And then it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And we need to be lights in this dark world. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 2, 14 through 16, he said, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." The trials and sufferings of this life confront us now realistically with this fallen world. They confront us more. And thus, by contrast, bring the bright blessings of Beulah Land into sharper focus. In other words, the blacker the night, the brighter the light. Martin Luther put it so well when he wrote, "We have the promise and hope of heaven, and the recompense and reward of our present misery will be so great that we shall rebuke ourselves severely for ever having dropped one tear or sigh on account of this contempt and ingratitude in the world. Why, we shall say, did we not suffer even worse things? I never thought there could be such surpassing glory in eternal life, else I should not have dreaded to suffer even much worse things." Or as Paul said in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And then I think of that awesome verse in Hebrews 12:2. Just think of all that Jesus went through to pay for your sins and mine and take us to heaven. And yet we read in Hebrews 12:2 that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. In his commentary on Hebrews 11:24 through 27, Albert Barnes says that Moses made a mighty good bargain. He said, Moses chose the worst of religion, affliction, over the best of this world, affluence and influence, and believe he struck a mighty good bargain. Hebrews 11:24 through 27 puts it like this. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Missionary martyr Jim Elliot put it so well when he said, he is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I believe that a person in heaven may well give all of heaven and earth to have just one more star added to his crown. Daniel 12:3 says that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And one dear old Puritan commentator said that he believed that a person in heaven would give all of heaven and earth to have one more star added to his crown. But I wonder whether it works just the reverse, in a sense, in hell. Is it true that a person suffering in hell would give all of heaven and earth just to have one less sin to answer for? You and I, taught by the Spirit in the Scriptures, need to learn some tremendous transforming truths about trials. We've looked at 9 in this series of messages. We are always going to have plenty of problems. The important thing is how we handle them. We have too many trials. By doing spiritually stupid stuff that brings into our lives problems and difficulties and afflictions that God never would want us to have to go through if we would not have brought them on ourselves. Also, we are not all alone when we feel all alone. 4, trials make us more like Jesus. And that's what the Christian life is all about anyway. After all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, which purpose is that we are conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Everything that God sends into our lives is for the purpose of making us more like Jesus. And we are called Christians. And so we should help others to see Christ in us. Also, trials place us in just the right place to minister to the other person. Consider the consequences. The devil can't make you sin. I know he knows, and I know him. Heaven will be worth it all and a whole lot more. And so, my brothers and my sisters, let us from this day forth, in the strength of God's grace, trust our God in all our trials and get just a little bit more excited about going to heaven.
This has been a presentation by Dr. Walter Yoho. For further information, comments, prayers, and material, please contact missions300ministry@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.